Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Reverend Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, God Will Provide Justice. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 18. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this day. I ask for God's blessing upon our time together as we gather around His inspired Word and blessed sacraments. I also ask for God's blessings upon those who will be watching this divine service on our YouTube channel. Please stand as we begin our service. We will sing our opening hymn, number 768, To God the Holy Spirit, Let Us Pray. Remembering our baptism, we make our beginning this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson today is Genesis chapter 32. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 3. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the Gospel of the Lord.
And we are going to sing our sermon hymn. I don't have the number in front of me, but I know it's called Evening and Morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Thus far the text. You may be seated. So it is that many Christians, many saints of the Lord, a lot of times, well, you kind of grow weary after a certain amount of time. You grow weary, you grow tired of hearing about it, etc., and tired of the incessant arguments. The arguments that swirl around two things. Well, here they are. Swirl around faith, and also swirl around that of public life. And we often feel caught between these two. Caught between what specifically? Well, caught between wanting to have peace and caught between wanting to be faithful to what the Lord has said to us in His Word. And those two a lot of times often conflict and draw up a lot of these incessant arguments that you may have been a part of in the past. But here's the thing. When is the result of all of this and a result of the annoyance related to it, silence happens. And silence that means ignoring the things that Scripture speaks to. The church is not simply being humble. The church is simply not being meek. But instead, well, the church is being muzzled. So the kingdom of the left hand, I realize when you're looking at me, looks like my right hand, but the kingdom of the left hand, the civil realm, concerns what? Well, the civil realm concerns outward justice and concerns order. While the kingdom of the right concerns righteousness and before God through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so it is that the church, while the church naturally, and as Christ would so have it, the church may speak to the moral truths that touch on things that find its way into the public square, such as life, such as marriage, such as honesty, such as mercy. But she does so as a witness to what the Lord has told us, not as some kind of political actor, for instance. So when we speak about justice, a word we hear a lot in our text for this morning, when we speak about justice, when we speak about truth, when we speak about prayer and things of the such, we are not simply crossing some kind of boundary. Instead, what we're doing is we're doing precisely what the church must do. We're forming consciences around God's word and the comfort of the faithful around the gospel. And while it is that obviously the state and the church, while they serve different purposes, both remain under the same Lord, whether the state wants to recognize that or not. And so it is that this sermon, lest I be accused of this, the sermon is not about politics. That is not the case. The sermon is about faithfulness. And so it is that today, we Christians, the saints of the Lord, the baptized, live in a time frame here in 2025 when confessing what Scripture says is frequently treated as, well, a whole host of things. You can pick whatever synonyms you want, but treated as offensive, treated as hateful, and faithful Christians are often called narrow-minded, for instance, and that Christian teaching, as we would have it, is often seen as outdated. And so it is that we pray, we speak, and yet justice and what's right seems like it is very far off and away from the church. And so it is that Jesus tells this parable. Jesus gives us this text in Luke 18 precisely for such a time, that we ought always to pray and to not lose heart. So think of the widow, for instance. The widow in this parable, well, what's she doing? The widow in this parable pleads for justice before a judge who fears neither God nor also fears man. And he's not simply some kind of caricature, for instance, but instead he is a portrait of a godless society, a society who could care less about the triune God. He has power, but he doesn't have what? He doesn't have conscience. He decides truth by that which is convenient, by that which what he wants, by that which what fits and suits his needs, not by conviction. And today, the church as a whole, the church pleads for the sanctity of life, from womb to tomb, as you may have heard it said, and also for freedom to confess the truth, with a capital T, without fear. And yet the world, well, what does the world do with all this? Well, the world shrugs, the world gets annoyed, the world even sometimes mocks and shouts in your face. And Christians are being told across the country, across the world, that their faith in Christ Jesus, is something that's to be kept private. And that's as if the author of life, the one who created us, simply can be confined to the divine service on Sunday morning. But before we shake our heads, which is easy to do, at the world's injustice, we also must confess our own. We too have doubted that when we pray that God sees us and that God cares about us. We too have made peace, a lot of times, with the things where Scripture says, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. We have made peace with the things that the Lord has condemned. And so in prayer, well, we grow weary. We stop speaking. We stop speaking out. We stop praying. We shorten our prayers. Those long prayers and list of prayers that we used to have and all the people we prayed for become very, very short because we grow weary. And we start to think that our witness to Scripture, to the triune God, is something that, well, it just makes no difference in the end. But the Lord has never told His church, the Lord has never told the church that the world was going to come and stand at our front door and give us a round of applause for doing what we do here in the church, or for preaching God's word, or for rightly administering the sacraments. The Lord has never promised that we were going to be applauded for doing this. Instead, he told the church, that the church would be hated for His name. And so to be a Christian is to what? To be a Christian is to live as that widow, crying for that which is true, crying for that which is justice, as God defines it, in a world that has forgotten what it means. And we often act as if there is no God who pays us any attention, no Lord who will return to set all things right. And the law here, as we find it, strikes both outwardly and also inwardly. Yes, the world is unjust. Yes, that is true. And yes, also, we have not endured faithfully in the world and in our vocations where the Lord Himself has placed us. And if all we see is the world's injustice, if all we see what is wrong with the world, well, you know what? We would simply despair all the day long. But our hope is not in the world's judges with a lowercase j. Instead, it's in the judge with a capital J in English who was condemned for us. And here's the good news. The good news is that the judge in heaven is nothing like the judge in this parable. The judge in heaven is not like the judge in this parable who is corrupt. He is not indifferent to our cries. He has already entered the divine courtroom. He's already entered the courtroom and He has bore the world's injustice upon Himself. Think about it. He was accused, He was condemned, and He was executed by the same world that does what? By the same world that mocks His bride, the church. And yet from the cross, what does Christ say? Christ prays, Father, forgive them. So this means that you do not have to shout, you do not have to scream, you do not have to throw a tantrum, for instance, to be faithful. But you also do not need power to be effective. You get to keep on confessing. You get to keep on enjoy confessing the truth and keep on praying because the Lord who redeemed you reigns triumphant and is victorious. And the fact is that the Lord, He hears our prayers. The fact is that the Lord remembers His faithful. The fact is that the Lord will vindicate His elect. So what is it that you do? What is it that you and I should be doing in our vocations while we wait with eager joy and anticipation as we prepare to head to what season's coming up, to Advent, but as we look forward to Christ's triumphant return? Well, firstly, we speak what is true as Scripture tells us what is true. We pray for those who persecute us. We pray for those who persecute the church across the world and here and in the United States. And we show compassion to those who hate what we believe. And when the world ridicules us for our faith, when the world ridicules that which we teach, believe, and confess, we answer not with rage, but with steadfast confession of faith and with joy. Because the church's power has never been in public approval. The church's power, the power of the church, does not come from whether the public likes what we have to say or not. That's not the point. But the power of the church comes from the word of Christ that cannot be chained down, that cannot be thrown off into a closet in the back room of the vestry over here on my right and just kind of confined and then tossed out the window later when you're sick of hearing it. It's not how it works. But instead, to pray and to confess amid hostility is not defeat. And why? Because think about the history of the church. Well, the church has endured emperors, tyrants, and many false ideologies throughout the centuries. And she will endure in this age as well, because her judge lives. So Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And he will. Where his word is still preached, where his people still gather at his altar, where they still pray for mercy, and where they still speak his truth as he gives it to us without shame. So, as God's people, do not lose heart. You may feel often small, you may feel often unheard, but your Lord has already overcome the world. The world may hand out its own verdicts, the world may hand out whatever it is it thinks needs to be, but only one judge's word will stand in the end, and it's that of Christ. And until that day, the church prays. Until that day, the church speaks. And until that day, the church waits with joyful expectation, not in fear, but in faith. For Christ is coming, and he will not delay. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn is number 756, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Christ is near with his cheer. Never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for me won when his life was given? When life's trouble weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my holy Savior, fends them. Who knows all my woes, knows how best to end them. God gives me my day of gladness, and I will trust him still when he sends me sadness.